This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Greensboro is home to a growing population of refugees, and lately, aid organizations have noticed a new trend. Former residents of Congo are arriving in greater numbers. It's a group that faces many challenges. Most of the new arrivals are single mothers. Many lost their husbands in long-running armed conflicts. And Congolese refugees have shown great resilience. Refugee women from Congo and other Central African countries have formed a group to support one another and help break the isolation of arrival. The Umoja Women's Group is organized through the Center for North Carolinians, which is a project of UNC Greensboro. Joining me right now is Holly Sinkowitz. She's a research scientist with the director of the Center for New North Carolinians. Holly, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Great, thank you. Good to be here.
Natasha Nikokaze and Natasha Nikokaze is program coordinator for community centers at UNGC Centers for the New North Carolinians, also a refugee from Burundi. Natasha, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Angelique Ndaisenga is a refugee from Congo who is a founding member of Umoja Women's Group. Angelique, hello and welcome to you. Holly, let me start with you, because I know you've done some research on Congo, so tell me more about why we're seeing this rise of refugees generally and specifically here in Greensboro.
Yes, so Congo is the longest ongoing conflict in the world right now, starting in the mid-90s, has never been fully resolved. So there are hundreds of thousands of refugees that have been warehoused in protracted refugee situations in camps along the border of Democratic Republic of Congo. These families have been in camps for decades. So in 2012, 2013, the Obama administration, this came to their attention and they realized that they wanted to try to help clear some of the warehousing going on in the refugee camps. So they made a commitment to accept 50,000 refugees, Congolese refugees, into the United States over a five-year period.
And talk about what this means, refugee status. In our previous segment, we were talking about immigration to the United States. We're talking about people who are undocumented immigrants. Refugees are in a different class, and it's a somewhat different status, right?
Yes. So refugee is it's a political status. All refugees are a type of immigrant, but not all immigrants are refugees. So refugees have fled their country of origin due to their religion, national identity, ethnicity, social status, political opinion. So they have fled and been persecuted. They've crossed an international border, and at that point, they have been vetted by United Nations High Commission for Refugees and been deemed refugees, given that political status.
And about how many refugees do we see coming into this area right now?
Last year, we saw over 1,100 coming into Guilford County alone. North Carolina, as a state, typically receives 2,300 to 2,400 per year.
Natasha, you are a refugee from Burundi. And you were able to use your experience here to connect with women in the Umoja Women's Group. Tell us about your own experience before you got here.
So I came to the U.S. 9 years ago. And so my experience was that I was isolated. And so I wanted to be with the other women, other families who are experiencing the same thing that I'm experiencing, and I wanted to use my experience to be close to the women and to the families because of my own isolation. I wanted to break my own isolation to help newer arrived families.
This sounds certainly sensible enough and easy enough, form an organization and bring people together, but you had many other challenges when you get here. Talk about what you had to do. What's life like for you when you find yourself in this country for the first time?
It was not easy. I was fortunate to be able to speak English, but not fortunate enough to feel confident to use my English language because the accent was different. And, you know, that fear of people looking at you and asking, where are you from? Where are you originally from? So it was not easy because I spent so many months and close to years not even feeling confident enough to get out of the house because I was just not confident enough to start that conversation with people asking me, where are you from and why are you here and all that kind of questions.
Once you get here, what did you have? In other words, how did you get started? Was there any aid for you? Financial aid, an apartment, a job? How did that all come together for you?
So because I came as a refugee, I was already connected with a resettlement agency here in Greensboro who had arranged for an apartment for myself and, you know, was there for us to help us find a job and all that kind of things. But at the same time, it was not easy because I could not find anyone who spoke my language, anyone from my country, anyone to tell me, you know, I did this, you can do it.
Angelique, can you are here from Congo. Tell us why you had to leave Congo.
Yeah, thank you. You know, like when I was living in Congo, we come like refugees here. It was war in Africa. And then when the war finished, immigration from here, they want to bring us here like refugees.
But you didn't come directly here. In fact, you had to stay at a camp in Burundi for a while, right?
Yeah, I stayed in a camp in Burundi like for a few months. And then they just come there to kill us in a camp. And then I lost my daddy there and my mom and my sister. And I was shot in my stomach too and burned in my body. And when we got in the hospital, the immigration from here, they want to bring us here in America.
So you escaped the violence in Congo, which is where you and your neighbors were suffering losses. You're in a camp.
Yeah, I was.
It follows you there.
Mm-hmm.
You suffered terrible losses, and you're in the hospital. Then you came to this country. What was resettlement like? What was that? What was your situation like when you got here?
Yeah, when I got here, it was difficult because, like how we say, we come like refugees, we don't know English, we don't know anything, and the country is very difficult and different. How we do in Africa is different from here. When we come here, we don't know English, we don't know anything, but it's going to be difficult because we don't know all of that. But if you are immigration from here, they bring us here, then we got agents, you're going to help us to go to take class so we can know a little bit English, so we can know how to live, to find a job. That's how we... But it was not easy because we can't speak English very well.
Well, Holly, maybe I can ask you to give us the big picture in terms of refugee resettlement and sort of how it works. What does a refugee receive? How are they settled? And, you know, what are their responsibilities to provide for themselves once they're here?
Yeah, so refugees go through an extremely thorough vetting process overseas before they even are accepted into the United States. The United States has one of the strictest vetting programs. So they go through biographical information. They check retina scans, fingerprints before coming to the United States. They go through many interview processes that involve the FBI, the CIA, many international agencies involved in these checks. And then once they're deemed clear, there are also medical checks that they have to go through, and then final checks. Really, the whole length of the process at minimum takes 2 years, but really it's much more like 4, 6, 7, 8 years to go through.
Meanwhile, as we point out, people are living in camps, and I think that Angelique's story is probably not unique, so what they're suffering there, and that's after they escaped from the violence that forced them to leave. So when they get here, then what?
So they are attached to a resettlement agency. So that agency is there to provide basic services like setting up an apartment, some basic food in the fridge. We'll help children enroll in school if there are children in the family. We'll help with initial job placement. Typically, many of those services last for 90 days at minimum, so it's not a lot of time. 3 months, and then you're expected to be on your own. They do have Medicaid. Medicaid in the state of North Carolina lasts for 8 months, so after an eight-month period, they are expected to either be able to purchase their own health insurance or have a job that provides that benefit.
Natasha, tell us about your group and the kind of support. What are some of the things you do?
So the main thing that we do is to break that isolation and to be there when, you know, newer arrived women are just needing to talk and just to know that we are there for them. We've been there and we've done this and we can be there to listen to them. And this, the second thing that we do is really to connect them to resources that are here available to them. And so, and also like for newly arrived women to connect with the ones who've been here, you know, longer than them, and just to be there and to hold hand with them and to know that, you know, we were there before them, we did this, they can do it.
But the it that you're doing is quite a bit, Angelique, because you describe generally some of the problems, the adjusting to language and customs and that sort of thing. But if you're going to take English language classes, work, and in many cases take care of your children, that doesn't leave many hours in the day. Describe some of the challenges that you work with and the ways that you help other women cope with some of those day-to-day challenges.
Yeah, we just help them. So, like, we already come here. We live here a long time. We just help them to know how to go. They can take English too. They can know English. And we try to help them, like, when they got to know how to keep the babies. You know, it's difficult too. When they come here, they don't know all of that. We live in Africa. You can leave your child wherever you want, if on your neighbors, you know. But here is different because you can do that. You have to have your own responsible for your child to know where you're going to put your child before to go to work. All of that we try to make to be together so they can know exactly this country, how they do the things in this country, because it's different from our country.
Natasha, there sounds like there's an awful lot of trauma in the stories of the women who come here. Do they tend to share those stories? Do you encourage that? Is it helpful to talk about what you've been through?
Yes, definitely, because like newly arrived families, when they get here, it's really different from what they thought it was going to be, because number one, they're running, like everything is very fast. Number two, they stay with resettlement agencies for 3 months and they have to be on their own, they have to be working, they have to figure out childcare, they have to figure out a lot of things. So that by itself adds to the trauma that they've been through. So for them to see that there are other women who went through the same thing, were able to make it work, it helps them to know that, oh, okay, there are other people who did this. We can do this. So that is a comfort that we bring to the women, and that helped them to open up and talk about what they've been through. We do not pressure them to start talking when they are not ready, but they know that we are there and we share our own stories. And when they are ready, they start opening up and tell us their stories.
Holly, UNCG Center for New North Carolinians is doing some research to see how social networks work and maybe improve this process. Can you give us an idea what the research looks like?
Yeah, it's a little bit on social network analysis. And refugees, when they arrive to the United States, virtually all of their social supports have been disconnected, have been cut. You make ties in those camps because you have been there so long. So they lose all their connections and come here very isolated. So what we're doing is, through the Emoja group, trying to connect women with each other, most importantly, but then other resources in the community, and looking at how those networks will grow over time.
I want to thank all of you for being here and for sharing your stories. Holly Sinkowitz is a research scientist and director of the Center for New North Carolinians at UNC Greensboro. Natasha Nicoqueza is the program coordinator for community centers at UNCG's center. Angelique Ndesenga is a refugee from Congo who is a founding member of Umoja, the Umoja Women's Group. Thank all of you for being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for listening to The State of Things, produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Robert Kinlaw, Angie Parent, Amanda Magnus, with Robin Copley, our technical director, Al Wadarski, helping out today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio, and once again, the music of Whiskey Christie and the Half Pint Orchestra.
A flurry of smoky essence, nobody can deny her presence, swings and sways with her hands upraised. Body speaking in tight turns and twirls, sexy gaze and flowing brown curls, swing and sway with her hands upraised. Just out of reach, riding on sighs, through the air like a sweet, sweet butterfly. Hungry stares from every corner, oh, the ghosts would like to own her. Swing and sway with their hands upraised. Other maidens in a row so pretty, all alone, hearts full of envy. Swing and sway with their hands upraised. Just out of reach, riding on sighs, through the air like a sweet, sweet butterfly. Unaware of the stir she causes to and fro on the winds that blow, drifting, spinning, she never pauses, even if the doors are closed. Ooh.